Okay, so what happened is yesterday in Toronto, they had the McLuhanites had a McLuhan conference. And I've got here the schedule, but since I'm causing an echo, let's have Brian begin to discuss the conference and the things, your notes, Brian.
Okay. I can't hear what Carolyn's saying.
That's all right. Don't worry about Carolyn. You just start talking.
Well, it was a great event. I really enjoyed it. It was a long day of lots of different speeches, but they were all very interesting and beautiful space and lots of people there and nice organization. It's good to meet some people there and see some people that I haven't seen in a while, like Michael. So it was good. The point is it was organized to celebrate the UNESCO designation that happened last year. And I think there was a kind of a follow-up thing. I don't know if you remember hearing about this last year. It was November. I believe it was early November that the headline that the UNESCO, whatever that stands for, had designated McLuhan's working library there at the Rare Book Library at U of T to be part of the memory of the world. It's like the equivalent of designating a national park as part of that thing. So anyway, so they gave it a UNESCO designation. That was last year.
Yeah, heritage site.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say the names on the schedule you sent me, and you tell us whatever you can about them. So the event, Welcome Introductions by Sarah Sharma.
Right. Well, I mean, these were all, she actually went last on that list, if I recall. There were quite a few names, including Michael McLuhan and, the guy from Library and Archives Canada was enthusing about, the designation last year was about the Fisher Library collection, but I think they figured out how to kind of tack on the Ottawa collection or part of it to that designation, or that they're merging them, or creating, or they're beginning to, they're creating some kind of an interface under the helping. I don't know the exact thing, but the point is the people, not just representing the USG libraries. One of these people in the opening thing was chief librarian, the dean of the Faculty of Information. They're trying to, of course, work from the McLuhan Center, but you also have and the person from the Canadian side of this memory of the world thing, but then you also have the guy from Library and Archives Canada. He was very enthusiastic about it. And Michael McLuhan was, charming and interesting, and everybody was very... That section was just a bunch of... enthusing about this is great and thanking everybody and sort of just setting some color, not really digging into the meat.
Okay, so you're making a lot of static noise. You know what that is? Are you walking around or moving or something?
No, I don't think I.
Okay, can you turn your mic up a little bit?
I don't know if I.
Oh, that's better. And you also don't seem to have the clicking.
I had an earphone in, so I was listening on an earphone, and now I took that out. So
yeah, that's a lot better.
Just make it better.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, so what the list shows here, Faculty of Information, Wendy Duff, Chief Librarian, University of Toronto Libraries, Larry Alford, Library and Archives Canada, Robert Fisher, and Michael McLuhan. Then it says special guest speaker, introduction by John Showsmith, and it looks like... Andrew McLuhan said something, Marshall's grandson. And then I want you to go into the speakers. So you got the speaker one, The Logic of the Substitute, Harley Parker After Understanding Media by Gary Gnosko. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that was very interesting. I wouldn't mind. I do have a couple of notes on earlier on things that were said in the first part, but we could jump right into Gary. If you want that was a very interesting thing about talking about Harley Parker as a substitute for McLuhan, that he, you know, received at the height of his fame. He received so many invitations.
Yes, you know, hey Brian.
People.
Brian.
Yes.
Yeah, in my 13,000 items I've got, there's several letters of McLuhan writing to these institutes that wanted him to come, and he said, I can't make it. I'll send Harley. He's a really great guy. And I never heard back whether he got there or not, whether they accepted Harley. It didn't seem to be much correspondence after that. I don't know if they accepted it. So Gary had letters too, right?
Yes. I mean, that's exactly what he was looking into and saying the same thing, that there's a lot less information on how it went over. As far as one can tell, there weren't any big scandals of people saying that he's an outrageous poor substitute or anything. That apparently, to the extent that people took them up on it, that it worked. An interesting thing that Gary Janosko was pointing out, McLuhan's technique in writing these letters, he was saying he was phrasing it very carefully so that he was going to try to phrase it so that if Harley did go, that it would be their idea rather than his idea or something, so
yeah.
That if they didn't, if it wasn't satisfactory, they could say, well, you said it was, you were the one that said it was a good idea, and I should send them, or something like that.
Yeah.
And, recommended him very highly, but then, I don't know, just slyly kind of turning it around. That was interesting. I mean, but part of it, he was going into the extraordinary language that McLuhan would use to describe the quality of the substitute, that, he is my right hand.
Yes.
Was one of the things that he said. So,
okay, a couple of points, Brian, that I know of. First time I called the center and in the 60s and Harley answered, I think I brought up Krishnamurti, and Harley says, Marshall knows nothing about Harley Krishnamurti. Harley knows nothing. No. Harley says, McLuhan knows nothing about Krishnamurti, but I do. And then, about art. Well, Marshall knew nothing about art. I know everything. talking to Harley, he was running the center. He was the center. McLuhan was just a joker. Okay?
Right.
A few years later, right. Harley becomes an alcoholic, and it becomes a basket case, and Marg Stewart, McLuhan's secretary, told me they had to fire Harley. That was like 73 or so. And so Harley then got voice, throat cancer, and then he had a speaker thing in his throat. So he slowly deteriorated. In those letters, which were probably started to be written in the mid-60s, McLuhan really praised Harley and said, you know, he was a power in his own right. But I didn't get the sense, there was no more correspondence that I found, that they accepted him. Now, Morris McLuhan, Marshall's brother, he at least once got to a conference substituting for Marshall because Edgar Friedenberg, who McLuhan quotes in Gutenberg Galaxy in the book The Vanishing Adolescent, he had left the States because of Vietnam. He'd been a big professor out in California, and so he was in Halifax when I was living there, and he was a teacher at Dalhousie in the education department. So I would occasionally talk to McLuhan. He said, well, one time Morris came, and Morris announced, and when he introduced himself, he said, Marshall was an only child. And Friedenberg was, to me, genuinely shocked by this. I said, how could anybody say that? Like, he was just disgusted at Morris and McLuhan for doing that.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, Michael, do you have something to supplement this?
Yeah, a little bit, but staying on the Morris thing, when I was at the Media Center, Morris would come over from the coach house. And my boss at the time, Doug Todgham, he actually didn't like Morris, but his quote was, Morris had a way of, when he would call you up, he had a way of slurring his name so that it would sound like Marshall McLuhan was calling you instead of Morris McLuhan.
How you doing? This is Morris McLuhan. I got some instructions.
I'm an only child.